This podcast may contain language that's not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Today we're going over Dash and Lily, episode 8, New Year's Eve, the final frontier. These are the voyages of Lily and Dash. So if you haven't seen it and don't want us to ruin it for you, you may want to pass on this one, and we'll catch you next time.
Hey, gentle listeners.
Are you ready?
For one dry kiss. Oh, just like you do on New Year's Eve at the stroke of midnight, you give somebody one dry kiss to signify all the new things that are coming this year.
I don't know. I haven't had a New Year's kiss.
I was just tying it into our name. One dry kiss. New Year's Eve, you have one dry. Forget it.
Okay.
Welcome to One Dry Kiss, our cussy irreverent love letter to rom-com movies and series. I am one half of your hosts, and I am here with the Auld Lang to my sign, Corinne Edding.
And I am here with the person who I give the answer to. What are you doing New Year's Eve? Possibly spending it with my co-host, Tam Arcosio.
Oh, that's right. Huh? We are going to be spending this New Year's Eve together. And Happy New Year's, as we hopefully feel 2025 is going to be much, much better than 2024. But, you know, some things are in the pipeline that may not make that true.
Yeah.
Knock on wood.
Who knows? We may be living in a dystopian future in 2025.
Oh, good times. Uh-huh. But we'll have fun doing it.
Yeah.
We'll make the most of it.
Speaking of making the most of 2025, do you have any resolutions or anything that you want to like channel into 2025 or leave behind?
2025? Yeah, fucking everything. 2024 was not my year. My world kersploded in more ways than one. I left many, many bad men in my wake. And I would love to see them get smaller and smaller in my rearview mirror.
Ooh.
I will not name them because they know who they are, fuckers. And I'm looking forward to spending a majority of the year, if not all of it, by myself, dating myself, loving myself, not in a weird sexual way, but just trying to be the best me I could be for me. What about you, Corinne? What is your New Year's resolution?
I hope some of those by yourself plans include hanging out with me.
No, you know what I mean? Like single ladies. All the single ladies. I wasn't saying like, don't look at me. I see you've come home, but it is my alone time. Please just go to your room and don't make eye contact. No, I just meant like, I'm not going to be dating. I'm not going to be dealing with all that biznatch. I'm just like, I'm not going to go online to fucking OkCupid or any of that bullshit. Like, I just am going to be alone with myself and my roommate, Corinne. Sorry.
Great, great. You know what? I will make a single ladies pact with you that while you are off of the apps, I too remain off of the apps.
Oh, you don't have to do that for me. Go on out there and app away. I need some healing time.
Lord knows. She's trying to get me out of the house, gentle listeners. You hear that?
If you go out of the house, you'll bring home leftovers, and I'm okay with that.
They'll have my name on them.
That and they are free game when they're in the fridge. You said so yourself. If there's stuff in the fridge, I'll just cross off the name and be like, I didn't see it. Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
You turn the C into a T.
Turin. Oh, well, subital. No, but really, what is your New Year's resolution?
To bring one dry kiss into wild popularidom and to make it so that we make millions off of this podcast. Oh, okay, fine. Seriously, though, what I want in the new year is to continue checking in with myself about how I feel about things, to continue practicing healthy boundaries and good communication, develop my toolkit more, and to go on some adventures and hopefully enjoy some fun times going on adventures too with my roomie, Miss Tam Arcosio.
Yay. Adventures. Adventures.
Exactly. We need some adventures. God damn it.
Oh God. I feel you. I totally feel you. And I'm absorbing what you're saying and I'm nodding emphatically, but I'm like, right now I'm like, I just need some peace before we go on adventures.
Oh yeah.
I just like, I know you don't know anything about all the excitement we've had over the last like month and a half. So
I don't want to be like going on any bananas adventures right now. I'm just talking about like in the fall.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah. And I want to continue working on being kinder to myself mentally and physically.
And to your roommate. Be kinder to your roommate, too.
Am I being mean to you? Am I being mean to you?
You're not sharing your leftovers. I mean,
okay, fine. Yeah.
You said it's got your name on it. I can't have it. I think like pie in the sky too. I would love to run a half marathon.
Oh, great. Let's work on that. I'd love to do that too.
Yeah. I've always wanted to do that. Not a full marathon because I saw my sister do it and it scared the bejeebas out of me. And I'm like, people just poop and piss themselves? No. I don't want it to be that serious. I'll be at the end of the pack. Like avoiding the piles, but I want to.
There's porta potties along the running path.
I know. And people are like, no, can't fuck with my time. I got to keep going. That's just, I don't know that kind of conviction, nor do I want to know that kind of conviction. I just want to make a goal that I can work towards because I need to be way more active and not just a heap on the couch. But again, I'm in mourning. So
yeah. Hey, we've gone on some good hikes, though.
We have. Oh, that beautiful park. What's it called?
Reinhardt Redwood Regional Park.
Highly recommend. Gorgeous park. Mm-hmm. And it's free right now for the winter months.
Yes.
So we have been utilizing that place a lot.
Uh-huh. And going on walks in the Emeryville Marina by the water. Yeah, we've been experiencing some really nice nature and beauty.
Beautiful skylines of San Francisco and Marin and all that stuff. It's just, it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous.
Yeah. What I want to leave behind, let me put it this way. I want to be able to embrace discomfort so that I can do more of the things that I want to do, which would be leaving behind whatever that is. Hmm. Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think those are good resolutions. I like it. I like it a lot.
Thank you.
So now that we have gone on about the new year, Corinne, can you provide us with a new synopsis of what happened in episode 7?
Why, yes. Yes, I can. I can place a festive synopsis under our tree of last week's episode, per what you said.
Yes, because it's not going to be there for long. The Christmas tree's going to be gone within a week from the time this episode's aired.
And Tam said a festive synopsis, but I will say not so festive as everything fell apart in that episode.
That was a very unfestive Christmas episode.
Uh-huh.
Now in hindsight, I'm like, maybe we should have squeezed these together.
However, Lily, who is 17 and has never been kissed, went on a serendipity date quest by putting a notebook in the Strand with quests in it for a smarty teenage boy who is single and interested in girls. Dash, a single teenage boy who is interested in girls, finds the notebook and their correspondence begins. They take turns writing in the notebook and challenging the other to experiences in New York. In episode 7, Lily is excited to find out Dash's name under her Christmas tree on Christmas morning. But, unfortunately, it's not there because Dash is busy spending the night with his ex-girlfriend, Sophia. Do we see a problem there? Yes, we do.
It's not as bad as it sounds, Corinne.
However, to be fair, as I say, he does tell his ex-girlfriend, Sophia, that they don't make a good match and shouldn't get back together. The next day, when Dash wakes up, realizing that he has not passed the notebook onto Lily with his name, he's upset until he gets a notice that Lily is at McSorley's bar. And damn, is she ever. She is drunk off of peppermint schnapps and texted awful Edgar for a kissy call. Kind of like a booty call, but just for a kiss. He comes on over, they kiss, and Dash walks through the door just in time to see. He yells at the skies, "Cars are sudden but inevitable betrayal!" But that doesn't stop him from exchanging some bitter words with Lily and then taking her drunk ass back to her aunt's place. On the way there, he writes her a The fantasy was nice, but this is reality and we shouldn't be together note in the notebook and slips it into her bag. He leaves her aunt's and is replaced at the aunt's a bit later by Lily's grandpa. Yay! Who comes by to pick her up. He's pissed that she's super drunk and surprises her with the entire family, parents back from Fiji and extended family, being in the living room. Lily proceeds to throw up in front of her family and later finds out that she's moving to Fiji with her parents in a week. She also reads the note that Dash left for her in the notebook, all making for a very shitty Christmas for her. Dash doubles down on his shitty Christmas by alienating himself from his bestie Boomer because he found out that Boomer had met Lily and felt betrayed. So he blew things up with his bestie and ended up watching the movie Collation all by himself because Lily was not who he dreamed her to be. Ugh, so much disappointment. Hopefully you have better news for us, Tam, in episode 8.
Oh, but do I, Corinne?
I really hope you do.
As sad and depressing as episode 7 was, episode 8 shall rise from the ashes like a phoenix.
Nice.
On New Year's Eve. But it begins with a forlorn Dash who's in the Strand bookstore staring at the shelves when a brunette bookstore employee happens upon him and nicely asks if he needs help. I just have to point out that she's decidedly not surly because in a previous episode when he calls to try to find out surly bookstore employee's name, he describes him as brunette and surly and then yells into the phone, "Well, maybe you need to hire more people."
And I would like to say that I posit that she's like, you know what? I love Jane Austen. I love the Babysitter's Club. You know what's going to be great? Working at a bookstore. This is going to be amazing. And then she gets to the Strand and she's surrounded by like a whole bunch of gloomy gusses. And she's like, what the fuck? I need to find a different kind of indie bookstore to work at.
So what you're saying is she's probably a new hire, not jaded yet.
Yes, exactly. She's a unicorn.
Anyways, Dash declines, telling her, what I want is not here. Ooh. She smiles and walks away, and no sooner has she left than a hand appears, holding a red notebook that shoots out from between the shelves. Dash grabs it and sees the hand belongs to Mark, the other bookstore attendant, who is surly and says, you never saw me. Dash opens the pages, and we hear Lily's voice say, dear Dash, I can finally say that because I know your name. A week ago, that seemed so important. It's funny how things can change. I used to think we'd meet and have this great romance. I believe New York was magic, but now it's New Year's Eve, and at midnight tonight, I'm getting on a plane to Fiji. We cut to Lily packing her things. Her mom cheerily pops her head in and says, it's a fresh start, honey, an opportunity to leave anything behind you don't want. Lily looks decidedly at the Dash Muppet she made at the break room and plops it into a box labeled, Get Rid Of. Her voiceover continues, you said we'd never work out, and now I know you're right, but at least for one Christmas, it was nice to believe. After finishing her final entry, Dash seems distraught. Words flash across the screen that say, 10 hours until midnight, then clicks to 9 hours until midnight.
We then see Langston and Lily. The countdown is on. It's the final countdown. We then see Langston and Lily walking in the park. Langston is complaining about how unfair it is that you have to leave while I get to stay. Although it sounds a lot like a brag. And Langston's character has been shown to be questionable. And he's been on the naughty list a few times.
More than a few times, if you ask me, Corinne.
More than a few times, excuse me. I have been corrected, and rightly so. He consoles Lily with baked goods from, how do you pronounce that?
Levar.
Yes, bakery, and tells her, I don't think they have these in Fiji. I don't think they have a lot of things in Fiji.
Yeah, shocking.
Lily agrees and regales her brother about the disastrous events from the prior week. She tells him, I was drunk and kissing the wrong guy. Then Dash showed up and told me it was over, but I'm fine. A new country and a new start sounds good. Her brother stops walking and blocks her way, proclaiming, "You know how you always say you're fine when you're not?" Lily affirms, "Yeah." Langston continues, "Well, this time I know you will be. And did I ever tell you about my first kiss?" Lily shakes her head, so he continues, "I don't remember it, but my second kiss was Tyler Carr at a pool party hiding under one of those giant inflatable tubes. It's not about the first kiss. It's about the first one that matters." Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I think that that should be like anybody's first. It's not about the quote first, because if it's shitty, then it ain't the first. Yeah. It's the first one that matters. Lily is touched by Langston's words and says, "I'm sorry you and Benny broke up and he's moving to Puerto Rico," to which her brother corrects her. And this is why Corinne, me, I've been saying he's on the naughty list. This moment right here.
Oh.
Buckle up, gentle listeners.
You mean why he's still on the naughty list? Because he never got off.
Motherfucking Langston says, "Oh, he's not moving. He's just spending the first 2 weeks in January there. And you know I don't do good with long distance." Excuse me? You're breaking up with someone because they're going to be gone for 2 weeks?
That's long distance. I guess so. You can't be out of his sight for longer than 75 miles or it's over. Like,
if you are having a good relationship with someone, it should be able to last a 2 week separation.
Yeah, that's troubling. Yeah. Langston.
Langston is making my eye twitch, okay? Lily is appalled and begins pummeling him with her box of baked goods because that shit is ridiculous. We cut to Dash attempting to get in touch with Boomer, who hasn't been answering his texts because Dash was an asshole to him. That shit is not ridiculous that Boomer is not answering his text. That's called boundaries and a little self-respect. So Dash resorts to calling his home. The person relays, "Boomer isn't here," and Dash accuses, "Is he really not there, or are you just covering for him? Because if you're covering for him, I feel like that's exactly what you'd say." Oh, Dash, just dig that hole a little deeper, shall you? He's making my eye twitch, too. Woo. And he, not surprisingly, gets called finicky and hung up on. I think what they meant to say with finicky was fuck off.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah, but it's what? PG? Yeah. Can't say that.
Yeah.
Can't say the F word. This drives Dash to Boomer's Instagram page, and there he sees his friend in the most detestable, to Dash, place one could be on New Year's Eve. We flash cut to a Jonas Brothers concert in Times Square. The countdown clock reads 8 hours until midnight. Dash weaves through the packed streets as the Jonas Boys take the stage, and we hear them singing, "Take it away, Corinne."
The snow on the ground, love in the air, the sleigh bells are ringing. This is what it's all about. Woo!
Okay, I just put all the lyrics there.
I know, I was like, that's a lot of lyrics.
They actually sang the whole song, but thank you, I appreciate it, because I couldn't sing that to save my life if I needed to. Anywho, Dash pushes through the crowd yelling, "Boomer! Boomer!" Dash finally sees him, but when Boomer sees his friend, he hightails it the other way. Dash is confused and chases him, but when he finally catches up with Boomer, he gets a tongue-lashing about how fucked it was to get ditched on Christmas.
Yeah.
And Boomer drops a truth bomb when he says, "I know you pride yourself on being a loner, but there's a difference between being a loner and being a dick."
Yes.
Dash implores his friend for help, but is interrupted by Priya, who tells Boomer, "Don't talk to him. He doesn't want to talk to you, Dash." Dash gives her a look and asks, "Why are you at a concert with Priya?" when they are approached by the Hollaback Boys, who also take Boomer's side and say, "Bro, I heard you were real putz on Christmas. Not cool."
Yeah.
Dash asks, "So are you hanging out with everyone without me?" Just as Sophia sneaks up behind him saying, "Look who emerged from 100 years of solitude."
That's a good line.
Dash is livid until Boomer reminds him, "Dude, you pushed us all away. I haven't heard from you in a week, and now you're calling and texting, and I'm supposed to just forgive you?" Dash flounders for a moment before pointing out, I came to a Jonas Brothers concert for you." For some reason that's unclear to me, this softens Boomer's heart, and he hugs his friend and forgives him. I personally would be more than that, but Boomer's better than me.
I don't know if he's better than you. I think that he should need more than that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that he shouldn't. They have a long-standing relationship. They're obviously close. I'm not saying that he should be like, bye, I'm never talking to you again. But I think they need to have a larger conversation before he just like gives him that big old boomer grin and gives him a big old hug like he does.
Yes, I am not your doormat, Dash.
Yes.
I am not your Dash mat.
Exactly.
Dash asks if him and Boomer can go someplace private to talk. Boomer doesn't want to miss the show, but one of the hollaback boys says, I got you, and leads everyone away from the stage. That would be missing the show. Hello?
Yes.
but whatever, you know, the Hollywood magic in the movies.
Boomer's like, I don't want to miss the show. And Dash is like, yeah, but I showed up to the show for you. Let's go. Like, he's like, now let's talk about me.
Yeah. That's not coming to a show for me. That's no. You pulling me away from the show I want to be at.
Yeah.
To go talk to you about some bullshit that doesn't really affect me. So yeah. Fuck off.
Seriously. I was like, this is just another self-centered move, Dash. Not cool. Not cool at all. The reason why you're reaching out is because you're like, oh, I need help. Mm. I need people now.
Yeah.
Like, you're not getting points. You're naughty list style right now, Dash, I gotta say. We next see the troop of friends in a swanky trailer. Dash is regaling everyone with the recent Lily developments. She's moving to Fiji, leaving at midnight, and he doesn't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. Priya is unmoved and says, don't do anything. If I were her, I'd want nothing to do with you.
Preach, Priya, preach.
Seriously. He was such an asshole. Like, such an asshole. He was a baby man. Dash won't accept this and argues, she said she stopped believing and that's not the Lily I know. Sophia tells him sagely, maybe you don't know her. Maybe she's just the girl in your head. Sophia's such a one-note wonder, though. Girl in your head, girl in your head, girl in your head.
She's trying to plant the doubt. She's like, I want you for myself, Dash. Don't put her on a pedestal. She's just a person in your head. You're building her up.
But she's also true because, like, how he acted towards her, he's like, you weren't this perfect person like I had in my head, you know. I'm like, she's right. And also, Sophia, you gotta have more than one note. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
One of the hollow boys asks, are you sure you're not just trying to make yourself feel better? And since he's not getting any sympathy from the room, Dash finally blurts out the truth. Oh, he gets vulnerable. I can't stop thinking about her, and if she leaves tonight, I'm never going to get the chance to tell her that. Boomer is surprised by his friend's passionate proclamation and asks, well, what are you doing here then? Go find her. Dash argues, I did that on Christmas, but it just made things worse, which is why he needs other people to help him out. He's like, bad judgment. I need help. Which, that is good judgment on his part. It's just,
I would not help him if I was any of these people in this trailer with him up until this point.
Uh-huh.
Except maybe the hollaback boys, because I don't think he wronged them in any sort of way.
He did steal their poster, though. But then he got Lily to go there, and she did the great dance. So, yeah. Sophia tells him, you've read a lot of books, but you're still hung up on fairy tales. When you first met her, you were trying to be Prince Charming. If you really care about her, but she doesn't get to finish, because in the trailer door stands Nick Jonas. Jonas, who offers, you need to go and just be yourself. Your friends are right. If you want this girl to give you a second chance, you gotta be real. And why are you all in my trailer? One of the hollowback boys explains, we went to band camp together. Then tells Nick, you sounded tight out there, bro. Nick thanks him and continues advising Dash on love by saying, when I proposed, and Corinne inserts, that's me, to Priyanka Chopra, one of the most beautiful women in the world and also very involved in a variety of women's rights organizations that include equal pay, increasing educational opportunities, and other women's rights. Thank you. Nick continues saying, I had to dig deep and get vulnerable. This resonates with Dash as he smiles broadly and points enthusiastically at Nick and says, that's it. That's perfect. We gotta go. And he stands as Nick mumbles, I wasn't really done with the story, and I want to hear the story. I want to hear it all. Tell me how you landed, Priyanka. I need to know. But Dash has things and stuff to do, so he hugs the Jonas brother and assures him, you were great. Thanks, Nick Jonas, and hurries out of Nick's trailer with his friends in tow, except for Priya, who gives Nick the eye that says, I can be the new Priyanka in your life. Winky, winky. And Nick is like, get the fuck away from me, you underage girl.
I have a question.
Yeah.
That I just came up with.
Oh.
Right now.
Okay.
Everybody says that Dash was trying to be Prince Charming when he first met Lily, but he was an absolute and utter dick. So how is that Prince Charming?
Through the notebook.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But he wasn't. He wasn't being Prince Charming in the notebook either. He was being like his surly, you want to hear about my best Christmas is when my parents got divorced. Like
I think that it just shows how Sophia views him more than anything.
Like, he was not being Prince Charming.
I completely agree with you.
Next, we see Lily sharing a cup of tea with her family members. She takes a sip, and then it gets passed to her brother, mother, father, then grandfather. This is a Japanese tea drinking ceremony where family members drink from the same cup, which is a symbolic ritual that conveys respect to elders, reminds participants of the importance of family and health, and sets a positive tone for the year ahead.
Oh, nice research.
Thanks. Then the family goes to a temple that Grandpa rented out for the occasion. He begins breaking out with a Otishidama, while the other family members light incense and give offerings to the evening. Langston points out Grandpa to Lily and cautions her about the barrage of disappointment that's about to come her way. Lily assures her brother, he can't still be mad at me about Christmas. Her brother says, figuratively speaking, hold my beer. Take it from somebody who has experienced disappointing Grandpa. You think he's forgotten until New Year's when he tells you everything you've done wrong in front of the entire family in exchange for an envelope of cash. Super fun tradition. Just then, Langston gets called to the front of the chapel where Grandpa hands him an envelope of cash and reminds him, you disappointed me when you dropped out of NYU and you said it was because you had a broken heart. Then last week you had a naked boy in your room. I assume this means your heart has been mended. Can I expect that you'll be going back to school in the new year? Langston smiles at the light chastising and agrees and receives his envelope of money and returns to his seat. He got off easy this year.
Uh-huh, he sure did. And I don't care how much money's in that envelope, I'd be noping out of what one might call a New Year's tea ceremony, but what I would call Grandpa Judgment Day.
I would sit there and be like, I'm fucking fine with it. Go ahead, you can tell me whatever you want. I need that money.
However, Lily one-ups me, or rather does my option two if I were forced by my parents to come. When Grandpa calls Lily up, she stands in front of him as he says, my Lily Bear, I could always count on you, which makes this year especially troubling. I thought you being out all night was an isolated act, but I've heard reports from several members of the family that told me what you've been up to. Breaking curfew, lying, running all over the city with some boy. I don't want you to uproot your life, and I planned on you staying here with me. But now I realize that New York City is no place for a teenager. Just then, Mrs. Basil E. walks into the temple. Grandpa tells her sternly, this is a family event. To which she answers, I am part of this family too. Grandpa relents and continues telling Lily, you've changed. I don't recognize my own granddaughter. A new home will be good for you unless you tell me it wasn't your fault and the boy made you do it. Lily looks uncomfortable, then contemplative, but finally says, no, he's not. I'm 17 and responsible for my decisions. What's your excuse? You refused to compromise with Great Aunt Lillian, and now you're doing the same thing with Mabel in Florida? Do you want to end up being alone? She turns towards the seat and addresses her brother. And Langston, I can't believe you broke up with Benny for being in Puerto Rico for 2 weeks. That's not a good reason for breaking up with somebody. I can't believe I took relationship advice from you. Then Lily turns towards her parents. And man, she is more empowered during this moment than she has been the entire series. And I am like, yes, Lily, get it, girl. She turns towards her parents and says, Mom and Dad, you should have told me about Fiji and Dad losing his job. I would have been worried, but I had the right to know. Then she turns back to her grandfather and finishes, as for that boy, he didn't make me do anything. All those decisions I made myself. Grandpa nods, then says solemnly, well, I'm sorry you can't stay.
Boy, the one part in this little section that I didn't specify, but I feel needs to be addressed, is that when Grandpa's giving Lily a tongue lashing, Lily's parents, her mom and dad, just kind of look at each other and like, oh, look at what Grandpa's telling Lily. Oh, isn't that sad? And I'm like, do you guys have no agency for yourself?
Seriously.
Like, you're letting your father and father-in-law give your daughter a tongue lashing and not intervening or saying anything. You let Langston dictate when you came home and then saw fit to tell your daughter, do you know how hard it was for us to come down here? They're just like background parents. They're actually not real characters in this movie.
Her parents are wallpaper, and yeah.
They're expositional.
They're like the best friend in a Hallmark movie that's frequently just there to move the plot line along, not having any other kind of thing other than being like, so what are you doing?
I also have a question on what the hell Lily's father does for a living, and that what he does as contract work in New York, but can find an actual like bona fide full-time career with benefits in Fiji.
That pays more. Yeah.
I'm like, what unicorn job is this? I really want to know.
Tam wants it is what she's saying.
I just can't imagine. Like, I'm like, okay, if it's Fiji, maybe it's something to do with like wilderness or agriculture or environmental stuff. And then I'm like, but then he's in New York. So what kind of contract work would he be doing in the middle of a big city?
Maybe. Okay, I'm just spitballing here. Since New York is by the water, maybe he makes artisanal life jackets. Have you ever thought about that? God.
Maybe he makes driftwood sculptures a la Hallmark movies.
Yes! Oh my God, Paul Campbell comes into the mix. Maybe he makes driftwood sculptures.
And the driftwood is much higher quality in Fiji than absolutely. In New York.
Absolutely. Ugh. And he wears artisanal life jackets while he's doing the work. I'm just saying, like, double.
Both things could be true. Both things could be true.
And so, you know, it's just his career's really going to take off in Fiji.
Meanwhile, Dash is walking down the street with Sophia and Boomer. They are conspiring about food from Two Boots and the place that puts cheddar on apple pie. Dash says that he doesn't think it's enough, but his friends disagree. Boomer runs off to handle his errands that we don't know what they are yet. And Dash says, I guess it's up to fate now. Sophia points at him in the chest and says, it's not up to fate. It's up to you. Good luck. At 3 hours until midnight, Lily gets in a cab with her parents. Langston sees them off. It's late at night. And before they drive away, he spies a red notebook leaning up against a stoop door. He calls out to his sister, but when she turns around, he thinks better of it and hides the book behind his back.
Okay, well, why do you think he does that? Why do you think he doesn't just give her the notebook?
I have no idea. For suspense, I'm guessing, and because Langston's a petty bitch.
Yeah, I'm guessing petty bitch too. I think you're right. Maybe he's just like, you told me that I was being petty about Benny and him going to Puerto Rico, so I'm just going to withhold this from you. I think you're right, naughty list.
You know what's going to hurt, Lily? When you have to do a long distance relationship and see how that works for you, but I'm not going to tell you until you're gone. Langston goes upstairs, shoves the book inside his nightstand drawer, and tries to forget about it. Meanwhile, Dash is pacing between the shelves at the Strands bookstore. He gets a text from Boomer that asks, any sign of her yet? But there's none, because at that same moment, Lily is driving towards the airport with her mom, who inquires about that boy? Lily remains silent, and Mom encourages, well, you can still write to him from Fiji. Across town, Langston finally has a change of heart. He opens his drawer and reads Dash's last journal entry. At the same time, Dash is getting kicked out of the Strand. It's time to close, and Mark, the same surly bookstore employee, has a date and wants to close shop. He tells Dash, I'm taking her to see the ball drop in Times Square, and I'm not ashamed of that. Dash begs for 15 more minutes and offers to organize the children's book section in exchange, but the attendant tells him, it's over. She's not coming. And is he right? Is he wrong? Is that the end of the movie? The saddest end ever. Find out with us after the break.
And we're back. And because Tamara promised us a phoenix rising from the ashes, he's wrong. because at the same moment, Langston sends a screenshot to Lily of Dash's last notebook entry. She reads it wordlessly in the cab.
As Corinne said, this movie was probably made pre-cell phones, but they did utilize it in this scene.
Yes. Dash wrote, "Dear Lily, I'm not the guy in your head and you're not the girl in mine, but that doesn't make us strangers. Honestly, I think I know you better than I know most people in real life. You're smart and brave because you take risks to get what you want. Maybe we both had expectations that we can never live up to, but what we shared was still real. The girl I met on the page is the girl I see when I look at you. That's the girl I've been falling in love with." Lily suddenly throws open the cab door that's stuck in traffic, so it's just stopped.
Yeah, I had to make that clarification. Yeah.
And all the traffic around her is just stopped. And I'm thinking, boy, did her parents think about it when they're like, let's just drive through downtown New York to go to the airport on the evening of New Year's Eve? That just seems like a really bad idea.
Maybe they got really cheap tickets just specifically because of that reason.
They needed to leave at like 12 in the afternoon is all I'm saying. And Lily runs down the congested street as Dash's voice narrates his final words. Not final words as in he's dying, but just like the final words in the notebook. "If it's not too late, I'll be waiting in the place where we began." It suddenly turns into Romeo and Juliet.
And that is the saddest ending ever to a Christmas movie series.
And with this poison, I'm just kidding. So his words are, "If it's not too late, I'll be waiting in the place where we began." Then we get a montage of their adventures up until that point. Lily placing the book on the Strand shelves, Dash running through the Macy's tree decorations, knocking them over in an attempt to escape with Santa's hat. Lily staring at the train station ceiling, Dash reading his version of River into a microphone, Lily dancing fiercely at the Holla Boys concert. Don't forget the elbows dance, gentle listeners. Elbow left, elbows right, elbows up all through the night.
You can totally forget that. It's not that great. Sorry, Corinne.
I don't know. I think that we should do a video of us doing the elbow dance. What do you think?
No.
We also montage back to Dash standing in front of the Believe sign as snow floats down around him. The two of them meeting at the party and having chemistry, even though they didn't know who the other was, all superimposed between Lily running down the dark New York City streets. She gets to the Strand, but the door is locked. She frantically pulls on the door handle, crying, "No, no, 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 no," when a voice behind her says, "It looks like you need a Christmas elf." It's Jeff, the elf from Macy's in regular clothes, aka Boomer's friend now. He smiles, holds up a pair of keys before tossing them to her, saying, "Jingle bells, sweetie," and walking away. I don't know why he's saying jingle bells, sweetie. But
guess because the chinga, 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 chinga of the keys.
Oh, okay.
So sure. Festive. Lily walks into the empty Strand bookstore. The lights are low and Ella Fitzgerald's "What Are You Doing New Year's" plays softly through the speakers. "What are you doing?" She wanders up the stairs to the second floor to find it decked out with Christmas lights. And on the Christmas tree in the middle of the room, Lily finds it's covered in ornaments that represent them, Dash and Lily. A pizza ornament, a salty pretzel, a menorah, a stack of books. She wanders further into the room and finds a table decked out with the real version of all the snacks that were on the tree, but with the addition of apple pie with cheese on it and mochi balls. Finally, Dash comes from between the shelves, and when Lily sees him, her voice cracks as she says, "You gave me New York." Dash agrees, "I couldn't fit the whole city in here, but I figured on your last night you should get a taste of it." Lily begins to ask how he was able to, but he already knows what she's going to say and admits, "I had a lot of help. And for a loner, I have good friends." That's the understatement of the year.
Seriously.
He begins to declare something, but this time Lily stops him. She turns her back and states, "Oh, why is this so much easier in a book? I want to tell you how I feel, but I can't because I've never felt this way before. I mean, I've loved my family and books and Spazzy, my gerbil, and kindergarten, but this is different. It's harder." He looks at her wordlessly, waiting for her to finish, but instead she rushes over, takes his head into her hands, and plants a dry kiss on his lips. Then a better, less dry one, which we appreciated.
Yes.
When they pull apart, Dash asks, "What was that?" Lily smiles and tells him, "Sometimes words aren't enough. I have to go." What? What? What?
I know. I was like, wait, I okay. I'm so confused by that.
Was the kiss that bad? Her phone rings and she sees her grandpa's stern face flashing across the screen. Lily talks to him, but instead of getting a stern lecture when she gets off the phone, she tells Dash, "My grandpa spoke to my parents. He said if I want to stay in New York, I could live with him and stay with Miss Basil E. while he's in Florida. He compromised and apparently told my parents what to do because they have no agency over anything in my life." Dash says, "That's great," and moves closer, but her phone buzzes again. It's Lily's parents this time, and she mutters, "I better get this. I kind of left them in a cab on the way to Queens, possibly making them miss our international flight. I better go apologize in person."
How is she going to apologize in person? And why doesn't she just answer the phone because they're calling her? I'm very confused by that whole part.
There's a lot of loopholes in this story and movie and series that don't make sense, Corinne. You just have to go with it. It's all part of the holiday magic. Just let the holiday magic wash all over you.
Okay. Well, I do let it wash all over me because I love this series and I've watched it several times.
Okay. Let the holiday magic wash over you and don't question it.
There's just some things. There's just some things that don't quite work.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of things that totally do.
Absolutely.
Lily goes to the exit door, but it won't budge. It won't budge. This is another thing that doesn't work. There's a sign hung on it that says, "Don't close this door for any reason ever." But it's like the exit door. If it was open, then the door would be open to the street. It doesn't make sense.
They're on the second floor, so it's the door to the stairs.
Oh, okay.
But I'm sure there's more than one exit. I'm positive that would be a fire hazard.
Yeah. And I don't think that Lily was like, "Oh, I went up the stairs and that door was open, but now I'm just going to close it."
Yeah.
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 No. Anywho.
Maybe you can't go out it, but you can come go in it.
Yeah. Yes.
Don't question it. Don't question it.
Don't question it. I'm not questioning. Christmas magic. I mean, I'm sorry. What are you doing New Year's? New Year's Eve. Lily goes to the exit. Okay, it won't budge. Once they see the sign, Dash suggests, "Maybe we can call Mark or your grandpa or your parents. Because I'm sure if you tell them you're trapped in the Strand with me, they'll be happy to send the fire department or the police or the army." But Lily gets a soft smile on her face and the hamster wheel in her head gets going with a realization. She says, "Wait, they don't know I'm here." And I'm like, so wouldn't this get you in more trouble with the grandpa than just like... said,
And if you answered the phone when your parents called and like, "Hey, I'm at the Strand bookstore with that boy. Grandpa said I could stay, so go ahead and get that flight."
Yeah.
And, you know, "I'm so sorry." But now they're not going to know where she is. They don't have any answers. What's the likelihood that they're going to get on that plane without her now?
Well, they might talk to Grandpa because he apparently rules over everything. So.
That's true. Yeah. True, yeah. Yeah. Fair, fair, fair.
Yeah.
He could probably stop the international flight until they get on it.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Grandpa's all powerful.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. The only thing he can't do is get Mabel, his girlfriend who lives in Florida, that's not his girlfriend, but really is his girlfriend, to move up to New York.
Mm-hmm.
Because Mabel's like, boundaries, I like the sunshine. Thank you.
Yeah.
Auld Lang Syne plays. Across town, Benny and his mom are watching the New Year's Eve special on TV while multiple snowballs get chucked at his window. When he goes to open it, he sees it's Langston, who happily yells, "I got you a notebook so you can write me from Puerto Rico." And I think, that's just a really clunky way to communicate, an entire notebook?
Don't question it, Corinne. Don't question it.
Do they have like a vacuum tube that's like big enough for a notebook so it can just go across the ocean to Puerto Rico?
Absolutely. You haven't heard about that? The vacuum tube notebook dispensary system? I honestly kind of secretly wish Benny was like, reachy, as he just closed the door on Langston. Like, fuck you, dude. You didn't want to give me the chance after 2 weeks and now all of a sudden you want me to fill out a notebook? Go to hell.
Yeah, yeah. After I slept out on the roof for you?
Mm-hmm.
They smile at each other and we know they're going to be okay. all because of Lily. Thank you, Lily. In a different part of the city, Sophia and Boomer are coming out of a theater gushing about the movie Collation. They, too, smile at each other, and their fingers naturally interlace together as they walk down the street.
And as Tamara screeches, no!
Why are you screeching no?
They were supposed to end up, Bill Boomer and Lily were supposed to end up together. See, never mind, I'll save it till the end.
Okay. At a local bar, Edgar is nursing a beer as people count down around him. I think it's McSorley's.
Yeah.
And at the midnight hour, as people are kissing around him, he's alone, alone, alone. The woman from the caroling group that he hit on, he gets to see kiss another woman. Back at the Strand, Lily has resolved to stay stuck a little longer with Dash. Yay! They sit together on a windowsill as the clock tower bells toll outside, signaling the new year. Lily tells Dash, Happy New Year, and they kiss, and it's a good one, as fireworks go off across the sky in the distance. The camera pans away from them and settles on one very important thing that's sitting on the Christmas tree, a red notebook ornament. The end.
Okay, before we finish this episode, Lily and Dash were great on paper,
yeah,
literally,
mm-hmm.
And then they met in person.
And they were great.
It was a hot fucking mess. Like, they did not get... No, when they were coming out of McSorley's, granted, Lily was drunk and Dash was surly because he saw her kissing somebody else. But that in-person interaction was so horrible that I said she should have wound up with Boomer. I know I said it at the beginning. I'll say it again.
You said it throughout the entire thing. And when they met in person before at the party and they just didn't know each other, they were getting along like gangbusters.
That's fair.
It was electric.
That was a fair point. I'm just worried that if there's any sort of altercation or any like drama or stress injected in their relationship, they're just going to fall apart because they're so different. That's why I screamed no when Boomer got with Sophia. Because even though Dash and Lily might wind up happily ever after, or at least have a long, fulfilling relationship, I don't know if I think Boomer and Sophia would. I feel like Boomer is the consolation prize because Sophia blatantly said, I like comfort and familiarity. And since I can't have Dash, I'll just go ahead and have his best friend because he's also familiar and comforting and, you know, here and
Boomer
single.
Boomer is not a consolation prize. He is like the number one prize.
I know he's the number one prize, but I don't think he should. Sophia? I just don't see him with Sophia. They're too different. Just like Dash and Sophia were too different.
Dash and Lily? Dash and Sophia.
Dash and Sophia were very different. And
yeah.
Boomer was pointing out everything that was wrong in their relationship. Yeah. And I'm sure that Sophia would do the same thing with him. She's going to try to make him get rid of that cute ass coat that you said you wanted.
Oh, I love
that.
That
had the
coat.
Puffy and the plaid in the front. Mm. That's going to be the first thing in the trash.
A good coat. No, because Boomer, he knows how to be himself and hold his ground. And that is the difference between him and Dash. He's like, me and Sophia, we can be like simpatico together and we can be our own people. But if she's like, hey, I need you in skinny jeans and a tuxedo jacket with your t-shirt instead of your cute puffy jacket, and I need you to throw that cute puffy jacket away, he's going to be like, I'm not throwing away my cute puffy jacket unless I'm giving it to Corinne. Thank you very much.
It just doesn't make sense to me. When I saw that, I'm like, nope. It was just a knee-jerk reaction. Even if he doesn't wind up with Lily, I don't think he should have wound up with Sophia. If you disagree, gentle listeners, please let me know.
I think that Dash and Lily actually make a really good couple together. The McSorley's incident being the exception, I feel like they complement each other well. And Dash needs a little of Lily's magic, and Lily can appreciate Dash's intellectual side, and together they can make an amazing power couple. Because they're both, like, weird and quirky in their own different ways.
I was going to say something, and it escaped me.
You're like, Boomer is also weird and quirky in his own way. Which is true.
Oh, yeah. You know, I do think that they make a good couple and I think they compliment each other, but I know that I'm a bitter bitch. And if that same shit happened at the bar and it went down like that and Dash was being a little petty ass like he was, I'd be like, fuck you. And then he'd come back with the notebook and I would just chuck it. I'd be like, oh, hell no, you are possessive AF. And I don't even want to deal with that. Thank you. I've seen your true colors shining through. And that is why I don't love you.
Tam's like, I seen your true colors. I'm throwing away the notebook. Mm-hmm. I see your true colors, and that's why I don't love you.
And I'm not afraid to let it go.
Oh, we need to like do a true colors revamp. True colors from the other perspective.
Yeah, I don't think anyone wants that.
I do. Fucking Lily's parents, I got problems with them.
Are they on the naughty list? Are we doing the naughty and nice list now?
Still on the naughty list, yeah.
Yep, they have no agency. Everything happens around them and they're just nodding and smiling and saying they're disappointed.
Yeah, they don't make sense,
they
honestly.
They do not make any kind of sense. Dad's job. First and foremost.
I love Dad's job as an artisanal life jacket maker / driftwood artist. I don't know what you would see as being wrong with that.
Yeah. I'm going to say that in addition to Lily's parents, did you have anything else you want to say about them?
No, I'm good.
Langston eked onto the nice list.
Yeah.
But just barely.
Just barely.
Just barely. He's on there, but any wrong move and he tumbles off into the naughty list.
Yeah. Langston's a bit chaotic.
Sophia also on the naughty list because she got Boomer in the end and I don't like it. Is it completely personal? Absolutely. I will say it's completely personal. She's not a bad person, but I'm going to say she's on the naughty list because it's my show and I can.
I'm saying she's on the nice list because she's making a good choice by connecting with Boomer.
Whatever.
Grandpa.
I mean.
Okay, first half.
He was naughty and then he's nice. Yeah. But he's like on the fence with me because I feel like he abuses his power and authority in the family to like bend people to his will.
Yeah.
And that's kind of shitty. Like he lets Lily stay with him and I think it's going to be fine. But God forbid if anything wrong happens and he's probably going to ship her off to Fiji faster than you could say Odo Shidama.
Oh, you mean like leaving their parents running through New York City and spending the night in the Strand instead of going home like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, she's going to be gone by the morning. She's going to be shipped off to Fiji.
Oh, my gosh.
That's like, Like, I appreciate the evolution that he's going through, but it's a little slow and a little bit less than I'd like to see from Grandpa. So, again, he's also right there with Langston. You're on the nice list with quotation marks. One wrong move and you tumble right down to naughty. On down to naughty.
Yes. Completely agree.
I'm going to... Controversial topic.
Oh?
Hot take.
Oh?
Lily might be a little bit on the naughty list because she didn't answer the phone for her parents, which did not make any sense.
Really didn't make any sense. I don't know why, like, with the plot, I don't know why they had them locked into the Strand. I don't know why she needed to try and leave when they were calling her on the phone, because she could have just decided to stay at the Strand. Mm-hmm. Like, and just be like,
Grandpa said I could stay, therefore I don't have to rush off to the airport.
Yes, exactly.
And it's New Year's Eve. I'm sure Grandpa's not going to be like, be home by 11. It's New Year's Eve, Grandpa.
So, yeah, no, I felt like the whole thing was like contrived.
Clunky.
Very clunky.
Very clunky.
Yeah.
The writers are on the naughty list for that ending. Okay, not the ending, but that little, like, write-in that was just not...
But, okay, so, do we want to look at a dry kiss rating for Dash and Lily, speaking of...
A dry kiss rating?
Yeah, for, like, the entire show.
You go ahead. I'm thinking.
I'm giving it 4 dry kisses. because I really enjoy watching it. The only reason why I'm like questioning these different things is because when you sit down and you watch something and you have to script it out, you really start thinking about things.
Yeah.
And I will go back to not thinking about those things when I have it playing ad nauseum at different points in time. But I really enjoy the connection between the notebooks. I like the banter back and forth. And like, I love the moment when they talk at the party, but they don't know each other is each other. And I feel like it has so many good romantic moments in it and like Christmas magic moments, which is super important to me. And then it has a mega happy ending, which I also like. So yeah, 4 dry kisses.
I'll give it 3. I thought it was great. Not great. No. I thought it was good. But there was just, and it might be the same as you said, I watched it before, but writing it out, because I completely forgot everything that happened. I erased it from my mind, which shows how much it resonated with me, I guess. But then when I watched it again, there was too many things like...
They're the, clunky things.
The end of the strand, the weird parent relationship.
Yeah.
Why the fuck are you going to Fiji a few days or a week before Christmas on a whim and just you think that's okay? Like all of those things made me go, huh?
Yeah.
And just painted a cast over what was otherwise a lovely series and very fun.
Yeah, I agree.
And that concludes our last episode of unless we want to put anybody else on the naughty and nice list.
No, I think we're good on that. Well, I'm just going to put Boomer on the nice list because he's Boomer.
Miss Basil E was always on the nice list.
She's absolutely
amazing.
I think Miss Basil E and Boomer should have like tea together, and I think they would really appreciate each other's personalities.
I do too. That sounds like a good Dash and Lily season 2.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, Mrs. Basil E and Boomer going on adventures together.
Oh yeah, we don't even have to call it Dash and Lily. No. Basil E and Boomer.
Yeah, Basil E and Boomer. I love it. Ooh, this is a good one. Okay, so we are taking the month of January off per usual, except that you get this lovely New Year's Eve episode. Yay!
You're welcome.
Happy New Year's Eve, y'all.
Happy New Year's. We hope you had a fabulous, wonderful celebration. We hope all of your New Year's wishes come true and you have a wonderful start to 2025.
And what are we kicking off February 2025 with?
We're going to be doing Nobody Wants This.
Yeah.
Nobody Wants This.
Which is fantastic. And I'm having Tam watch The OC because of it. She's really enjoying the throwback nature of it all.
Sure. Yeah. I'm just like, huh? Again. Like, okay. That's happening. Alrighty.
And if you have anything that you'd like to say about the Naughty Nice List, Dash and Lily, Nobody Wants This, or the OC, anything else, you can reach out to us at onedrykiss@gmail.com or on Insta or Facebook, all at onedrykiss.
And that's one spelled O-N-E. And as always, if you could find the time to rate and review us anywhere you listen to this podcast, we'd greatly appreciate it. But in the meantime, we thank you for stopping by and we bid you adieu with one dry kiss. Mwah! See you next time.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
'm not on any kind of mission to take down the tree, but I don't want to have it up in like April.
I can just imagine waking up one morning to you dragging it out the door, just glaring at me. Karen, are you going to take off my ornaments? What? What? Oh, your ornaments are still on there? Shoot, I didn't even notice.
Yay.